Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. All unqualified praise is due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And the last ayah, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينَ. This day have I completed my favor upon you, and have completed for you your way of life, and have perfected my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk. His is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd. To Him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in His hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and He has power over all things. Wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave servant, His last and final prophet. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Oh Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi, and upon his family wa sahbihi, and upon his companions ajma'in. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. ما كان لبشر أن يطيع الله الكتاب والحكم والنبوات ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the 79th ayah of Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3 of the Quran, is, it is not possible that a man to whom was given the book and the wisdom and the prophetic office, that he should say to people, be ye my worshipers rather than Allah. On the contrary, he would say, be of those who are possessed of command, authority, and mastery in the systems of knowledge by what you are teaching of the book and by what you are studying. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. I would add to the hadith, I add a hadith. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Surely the best among you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it to others. This is to emphasize the main thrust of this series that continues further into the frontier of the Holy Quran, and to emphasize our responsibility, particularly that all Muslims are responsible to seek to be possessed of mastery in the Holy Quran. I really, as I'm emphasizing this, it's almost, I know, for myself, it's almost like a new emphasis even for me. And so I know then, therefore, since I have had the primary responsibility of teaching for the community, then to, in that measure, for many of you, it is a new emphasis. Without backtracking on any of the whys and what does that mean and all of that, what I'm focusing on is the fact that the Quran is something that we have to, and I'm being very technical about it, we have to be much more emphatic about it and not leave that to a specific class of individuals. And even, you know, we have the language class itself. You know, I leave that to the people who are in the class, or I'm going to join the class, which is a good thing to do. But I think for too many of us, I mean, at large, not just those who are hearing my voice, but at large, the imperative quality of our responsibility to be masters of the book per se and not see it as somebody else's purview. He got the book or she got the book. No, each one of us are to be in possession of a mastery of the Quran ourselves in service to Allah. And that's the conversation continues again along that line. So in terms of our responsibility, it's very important to connect it with our general mission as Muslims. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنُّكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the master mission of all Muslims. The master mission of all Muslims, our marching orders, you might say. Let there arise out of you, let there be from you, an ummah, very rich in its meaning. Ummah, you hear mother in it right away, mother. And when you hear mother, you also hear womb. So then you hear the need to create a womb out of which something else will arise. But you have to create the womb for that new birth. Well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ, it also speaking to culture. We have to build a culture. So very important, the role of culture. And expand your definition, expand your understanding of what that word means. Culture doesn't mean just whatever, poetry or art or literature or whatever, theater, drama, music, food, dress. It means all those things, but it also means more than those things. Those things that I just described, those things are artifacts of culture. They are artifacts of culture. Those kinds of things are the kinds of things that get found by anthropologists who are searching the history of a locality and see who lived there and how advanced they were, et cetera. So they find pottery, they find art, they find in some cases writing, or they find different kinds of tools, they find different types of weapons, and they find the environment has been influenced in certain ways that says, well, then if this looks like this, then they must have been doing that. So the point is, all those things that are found, they are artifacts. But those artifacts are created out of the knowledge of the people who brought about those changes and produced those artifacts. And then when you go beyond what you're looking at and you look at what they mean and what they are saying about those people, then you are discovering the ideas, the thinking, the values, and the principles that were driving those people. And it's that, when Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً, I say that we should take it from the perspective of create an environment that will produce in you and for you and from you the world that I want to see evolve among the people. Okay? Well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةً, let there be out of your culture. Here's another important element of that. There's one, you know, scientist, professor, he says, we are protected by something we cannot see that comes from something we do not understand. And he says, the thing that we do not see is the culture. We don't see the culture that we're in. We're protected by it, however. We're protected by it. I know that there's a lot of conversation about whatever, social justice, racism, caste system, blah, blah, blah. Don't think about that. Don't think about that right now. I'm saying that there is a culture, and in spite of and even in the presence of all those ugly things that we can point out about this society, I believe most of us would rather be here than a whole lot of other places in the world. I know that there's some individuals that say, well, yeah, I would actually rather be somewhere other than, oh, mashallah, but you're not the majority. The majority of people will say, looking at the world, looking at what exists here, looking at what I see existing and seems to exist by and large in other worlds, other countries, nations, et cetera, nah, I'd rather be here. Yeah, there's a lot of improvements that are needed, but then there's also a lot of improvements that aren't needed here, and that by and large, in the balance, I wouldn't trade that. I will speak for myself, but I think I speak for many people who take that. So the point is, that what has arisen, quote unquote, as culture here, despite the toxic aspects that I'm recognizing, the point is that there is an environment that has allowed this geography to be a place where there are good things happening. Everywhere you go, there are good things and there are bad things. But as it relates to your freedom, as it relates to your opportunity, as it relates to you as an individual, to reach into, realize, and actualize potential that you recognize in yourself to be of a benefit to you, your family, your community, and others, the freedom does exist here. And how did that come about? How did that come about? It came about by the leaders having values that respected the rights of the individual. Remember, as I speak, all those things that you might be running in your head about slavery and Jim Crow and lynching and all that's in there too. But let's get past that. Don't let that blind you to the fact that you have in this environment, and even as Muslims, and maybe perhaps especially as Muslims, there's a lot of places that we could be in the so-called Muslim world that is actually governed by Muslims that, frankly, you don't want to be there. And you couldn't be there as a Muslim the way you are here as a Muslim. I mean, in the belly of the beast and the great shaitan, whatever you want to call it. You go to some of those places and try to talk like we talk in this Jummah, here and in American Jumas and you go over to another country and you want to talk like that, man, we might not see you again. Really? You know, what happened to so-and-so? Yeah, he went over to so-and-so. Yeah, well, I guess he must be studying. You know, he might be among, what do you call them, the disappeared. But we're not going to stay there. So all of that is wrapped into the idea of wel tekun minkum ummah. So what does it say? It says Muslims, the world that comes out of you has everything to do with impression and expression. All those things I talked about as artifacts, they are actually expressions that come out of the potential of the individuals in that. You can talk about Asian culture, African culture, European culture, North and North, South and Central American cultures. You can talk about all of those. And when you see those things, it was their environment that brought out of them anything you might be thinking about, the art, the bow and arrows, the bowls, the behavior, the relationship between parent and child, all that. Whatever it is, we don't on the first order call that ummah, but brothers and sisters, that's what ummah is. Ummah is the womb, is the environment that makes the impression on the people in that jurisdiction, I'm going to say, in that womb, under that authority, and it impresses them in a certain way. Mormon, let's go with this. Mormon, there is a Mormon culture. There is an Amish culture. There is a Korean culture. Okay? Everywhere you go, there is a culture. There's a Jewish culture, right? And that Jewish culture, that Amish culture, that Mormon culture, et cetera, puts certain impressions on people who are a part of it, who were acculturated by it, who were impressed by it, and certain things come out of them as a result of the impressions that are made on them from the culture that they were acculturated to. This is what the Quran says. The Quran says, "Kullu ya'malu ala shakila." Everyone acts according to the way that they have been socialized. What socializes you? Your culture. What is another word for culture? Your ummah. So when Allah says, "Wal tekum minkum ummah," He says you have to have your own ummah. He's saying, build this ummah in accordance with my values, Allah, my values, my ideals, my principles, my expectation, my intention for life on earth. Allah is saying, be what I want you to be in the world. And those verses in the Quran that tell us that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's to be a witness over you, and you're supposed to be Muslim. You're supposed to be a witness over the people. He's the model of how everybody is supposed to be. You're supposed to be emulating him so that you are projecting from what he represents to you, the values, the principles, the ideals, the character that you want to create, have an environment that impacts people who are exposed to you. And then you make it, they get impressed by you as you behave in the way that your values dictate, which is a set of values that come from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. Rashid Shabazz, rahimahullah alayhi, comes to mind. Well, actually, I got two Rashid Shabazz on my mind right now. The Haji Rashid Shabazz, I just saw a picture on Facebook. He had a newborn baby. You know, he's the journalist. Alhamdulillah, you know, shout out to Rashid Shabazz, alhamdulillah, for him. But then, of course, we have our, quote-unquote, Rashid Shabazz of Oakland, and then Rashid Ali, rahimahullah alayhi, who, now, what's the connection to what I'm saying? The what do you call it, waste management, you know, you guys, let's complimentary terminology for waste management. I'm pretty sure Rashid Ali was first. Yeah, Rashid Ali got there first, right? And Rashid Ali impressed them so much that you got any more cousins at home? You got any more brothers? You know, like you? And here comes another Rashid. Must be something to that name, huh? Another Rashid, a Rashid Shabazz, who also is impressive, right? But where did the leverage come from? The leverage came from the impression that came from the first one, who was so impressive to them. It's like, here comes another one. Just like, oh, you from his tribe? Come on. Let's do that, right? So the point and message is that they come from an ummah, came from an ummah. They were impressed and they were shaped and their character was shaped and molded by a set of values, set of principles. Yes, Muslim, a set of values and principles, et cetera, that when they go out into the world, it impresses the world. Indonesia, thinking of Indonesia again, how did al-Islam spread among the Indonesians? More than anything, there were business persons who were Muslim who were doing business among them, and when they recognized the trustworthiness, the honesty, and so certain other aspects about them that were impressive, then people began, I want to do what you do. I want to believe what you believe. I want to practice what you're practicing. And then the rest is history, right? Why? Because that's what happened. But they were an ummah. They had embraced a set of values that had embraced and impressed them, and the impressions made on them caused them to give expressions out to the world that impressed the world, and it reverberated to have people say, I want to join you. I want to be a part of you. I want to be what you are. And so this is what the Quran is telling us to do. Ummatun Musta. Look at that verse. Beauty of the Quran, easy to get to. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 2, 143. This little piece that I'm speaking right now, go to that verse 143. Allah has made you a balanced ummah. And that verse is exactly in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is 286 verses, divided in half, you get 143. So right in the middle of that surah is what I'm talking about right now. So that's the part of the Quran telling you, when I say you're supposed to be a balanced ummah, a midway community, let me put this verse right here in the middle of the longest chapter to make that point in another more graphic way. So, and the prophet, in that verse it says, and the prophet is to be a witness over you, and you're supposed to be a witness over the people. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, well, tekum minkum ummatin, then he describes what that ummah is supposed to be comprised of. He doesn't say, and make clay bowls and make pistols and pens and make wheelbarrows and make wells and farms and all that. All that is ancillary. All those things are natural products that are going to come out of just trying to live and do what you need to do in order to survive. Those products, they will come naturally as solutions to problems that you're going to have for living. The most important thing is not the artifacts. The most important things are the values, the principles, the ideals, the beliefs, the way you interpret life, the way you see things. Because that's what's going to determine how you act in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing us with the Quran and providing us with the model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's given us the best of those. And I have to keep telling you terms that can hold it easy. Allah gives us the abstracts. Allah gives us the abstracts. He said, if you hold to these abstracts, let me mention to what they are. It says, ta'maruna bin ma'ruf. God is saying, your ummah should be made of this. Command what is ma'ruf. Command what is known. Arafa. Arafa has to do with knowing. Knowing. It says, خَلَقَكُم مِّن ذَكَرٍ وَأُنثَى وَجَعَلْنَكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَرَّفُوا. لِتَعَرَّفُوا, in order that you might recognize each other, get to know each other. Ma'ruf is saying it is the place where recognized good is established. There are universal goods. Doesn't matter if it's North America, South America, Central America, Europe, Asia, Africa. These are the ma'ruf are good transtemporally, transspatially, transgeographically. Telling the truth is good. Love is good. Mercy is good. Forgiveness is good. Honesty is good. Conscientiousness is good. Charity is good. All these are ma'ruf. Ta'maruna bil ma'ruf. Imagine that we were in this room. We were surrounded by billboards and different things and posters that said things like this, you know, be honest, you know, don't lie, you know, share with others, love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. The best among you is the one who is best to his wife, the one who is best to his guest, and blah, blah, blah. That's all we're just surrounded by. You walk in that environment, and everywhere, the wallpaper is just covered with all those statements. So when you go out into the world, those are what is guiding your thinking, your character, your behavior. So when you see a moment to be dishonest, you don't behave dishonestly. When you see a moment to be charitable, you behave charitably. That's what you do when you come out of that ummah. And that ummah is providing the womb for the embrace and the acculturation or the shaping of us into that. Ta'amaruna, God is saying, make that ummah ta'amaruna bil maruf wa tanhauna anil munkar, and forbid, negate, be against what would. And the Imam, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rahimahullah alayhi, he says, be against what would make your religion void. Listen, Muslim. Whenever we do something that negates our religion, that, oh, you're Muslim? That's what you're doing? Munkar. That's munkar. Nobody has to be looking at us. Nobody has to be there with us. You don't have to be around another Muslim. You yourself. We ourselves. It's all of us. I'm talking to me, talking to you all together. It's that, brother, Fahim. Now you know that's munkar, brother. That's munkar. Tenhau. Deny that. Reject that. And in munkar. So whatever makes the religion void, whatever makes your religion void, the verse of the Quran, it says, "Ar-ra'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen." Surah Al-Ma'un, I believe it is. "Ar-ra'ayta alladhi yukadhibu bid-deen." Have you not seen the one that lies with the religion? Have you not seen the one that lies with the religion? They have the religion, but they're lying. They have it, and they're lying with it, using the religion to lie. Right? Munkar. Ta'amaroon bil maroof wa tanhauna anil munkar. And it says, so this is what our ummah is to be made of, right? Ma'aroof. Yanhauna anil munkar wa ula'ika humul muflihun. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Those are the ones, if you do those things, they are the ones that will be muflihun. The Quran says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The usual translation is, the believers are already successful. When you look at the verb form of that, it's the fourth form of it. If that fourth form is talking about falah. And the fourth form is talking about causation, something that causes. What is falah? Falah is cultivation. The language that's applied to the functional meaning of it is, it means success. It means success. But success in that reference is the outcome. Success is like a flower on the end of a branch or wherever the flower comes from, of a stem. So you have a stem and then you have the flower. So the flower is the success. The flower is the success. But the flower is the end result. What was it that made the flower happen? Success is the end result. What was it that made the end result come about? This Salah. And Quran says, which of course this is a signal to what you need to do to be successful, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Come to prayer and you will come to success. Come to prayer and you will be cultivated. Come to prayer and you will flourish. come to prayer and you will be successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ those who believe, they are already doing what is necessary to flourish and to succeed. All right? So Allah is saying in this verse, He's saying, if you do what I'm saying, تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and the other being, عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ مَعْرُوفِ and al-munkar, you do those two things, you will be successful. You will be cultivated. You will be developed. Now, what will happen there, if you have an entire ummah, that's the ummah. You have an entire ummah that believes that way, that acts that way. One more little definition on culture. Culture is a group of people who view the world in the same way, and they interact with each other in accordance with that view, the view being how to go about solving problems, more particularly, how to go about solving problems. So once you share that way of seeing, that way of doing, that way of being, you belong to the same culture. And you interact with each other to reinforce that perception, to reinforce that behavior, and then what happens is the quote-unquote hope for, expected, I'm speaking only on the positive right now, the expected outcome is going to come in consequence of that interaction, of that perception, of that belief, that reinforcement. So it's saying that's what we as Muslims, we have to reinforce each other. I guess we just have to, the religion is very clear on this. In this example, it says, the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the believers are like one building. And each part supports the other part, like this building. If one side of this building was dilapidated and collapsing, et cetera, well, then the whole building is going to fall down. Everything else can be solid, but if one side of it is falling down, that's it. But when each side is strong, each one provides reinforcement to the other, so each one strengthens the other. Okay, that's what the Quran is also saying. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَسَّوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَسَّوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. They mutually enforce, they mutually influence each other. بِالْحَقِّ. They are truthful with each other. And they reinforce each other in that truth. وَتَوَسَّوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they are patiently striving and persevering with each other. So and the believers see themselves as one. You see, when you accept that as a set of values, and everybody really believes that, and everybody really acts that way, not just when they're in the presence of people who can evaluate what they're doing, that's the way they are, seen and unseen. We really get to know ourselves when we're around people and nobody knows who we are and nobody knows what we are. Nobody knows you're a Muslim. They don't know you're a Muslim. And however you behave, however you choose to behave in that place and in that space where nobody knows you as a Muslim, it can and is actually a revelation of who you actually are. All right. So, and how does this all bear on the idea that all Muslims are responsible to seek to be possessed of the mastery of the Holy Quran? Because that ummah is built from the Holy Quran. It's built from the Holy Quran. I don't know, the three little pigs, and astaghfirullah, that's how they told it to us. So y'all don't eat pork, so don't worry about it. It's just this story, right? You know, the three little pigs, each one built their house out of different stuff. You know, if I remember correctly, one was out of straw, and I don't know what the other was. What could the other one be? Was it wood? Was it wood? Okay, straw, wood, and then the last one, of course, was out of bricks or something, right? So the idea is, Who's gonna build the strongest house? The one that uses the strongest material. The Quran, from a human perspective, is the strongest material. And what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about one who does not have in them any Quran? The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person in whom there is no Quran is like a house that has fallen down from its roof. It's like, just go to the hood, look for a house. Oh, that's what it's talking about. It's all dilapidated, it's abandoned, etc. Well, that's the life. It doesn't matter how good we look. We have three-piece suits. We can be looking good. Da, da, da. If it ain't no Quran in that, it's a dilapidated house. It's a dilapidated house. So our structure as a human person is as strong as our grasp, application, understanding of the Quran. And if that's weak, your life is weak. And how, you know, what do you mean your life is weak? It means that you're faced with problems and you have no idea what to do. You have no idea what to do. But if you are possessed of a mastery, a comprehension, an understanding, and a trust in the Quran, then you will have that Quran. In fact, that's another, one of the other meanings of Ummah. Well, inside the meaning of Ummah is something that you resort to. Something that you resort to, right? And the Quran is said to be the Umul Kitab. It's in the mother of the book, right? So the Quran is an Ummah also. And also the term Imam also comes from the same root that we get Ummah from. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, everybody's going to be raised up with their Imam. Yeah, on the first order, you might think, okay, well, so-and-so is my imam. Inshallah, I'll be raised up with this. Inshallah. Allahu alam. But the Quran is the imam. The Quran is the imam. Raditu billahi ta'ala rabban wa bil islami deen wa bi muhammadin nabiyya wa bil qur'ani hakama wa imama. Imam is your imam. You are. What kind of relationship do you have with your imam? Are you a stranger to your imam? Are you familiar with your imam? Because that's what we're going to be raised up with. And Allah's Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةَ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. The Quran is either going to be a witness for you or against you. This is real for the believer. You to get resurrected. And then the Quran says, I don't know him. And you don't know the Quran. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the life that comes after this life, you will be invited, you'll be told, you'll be commanded to recite what you know of the Quran. And then you will be elevated according to how much you're able to recite. And you recite so much, then you're elevated so much. And it says, go on reciting, because your level in the Jannah is going to be according to your last recitation of the Quran. All that is the motivation for us to learn more of the Quran. And you can work with what you have. Oh, yeah, the prophet's there. Surah al-Ikhlas. That's one-third of the Quran. So I already know one-third of the Quran. Even if I don't know. Okay, good. How many did I work with that? But do you really know it? Do you really know it? Do you understand what it's actually saying? Okay? So let us take more responsibility in that regard, and to recognize that in order for us to be servants of Allah in this world, as he intends for us as Muslims in service of his, we have to use the main thing that he gave us in order to achieve that. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسْنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسْنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر. الحمد لله. So all Muslims are responsible to seek to be possessed of mastery in the Holy Quran. This Rabbaniyin that's mentioned in the verse 79 of Surah Ali Imran 3, that's actually what it says, whereas the Yusuf Ali translation tells, be ye worshippers of him who is the Lord of all, etc. That translation, quote unquote, it deprives us of motivation. We're deprived of motivation. And it's not actually what is actually said. It's saying, be ye masters of the book. It's an order from Allah. Just like Allah says, Wa akimu salat wa atu zakat. Establish the prayer and pay the zakat. We get that. We get that as an order, right? But listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. He said, be ye masters of the book. Be possessed of mastery of the book. That's just as much an order with regard to prayer and zakat. Why? Because in order to do the work for Allah in the world, you need the strength that the Quran gives. We need the strength that Allah's revelation, Allah's word gives to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 27th ayah of Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, it says, A'udhu billah. يثابت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في حياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويسلو الله ظالمين ويفع الله ما يشاء صدق الله العظيم. It says, Allah is saying, that is, Allah is saying that He, Allah, will establish those who believe. That's what he will do, those who believe. How is he going to do it? Bil qawli thabiti. He's going to do it with al-qawl. Al-qawl thabiti. And that is thabiti fil hayati dunya wa fil akhira. That Allah will use to establish the believer is something that is strong in this world and strong in the life that comes after this life. Do you understand that the Quran will be serving us and is serving us to the extent that we embrace it in this world, and then it also will become a witness for us in the life that comes after this life. So the effects of the Quran, the effects of republicanism is not lasting past the grave. You understand? The effects of all the other philosophies, ideologies, and things, whatever, racism, and everything that exists in this world to make this world what it is, it gets stopped at the door of the transition from this life into the next. But the force and the power that's in the Quran goes beyond the grave. Of the Quran, it will establish you in this world, and it will establish you in the life that comes hereafter. What do we need more than the Quran? You understand when I say that, it means you got to know how to use it, you got to know how to apply it, right? Or you find yourself in a fight and you got a weapon, but then you don't know how to use the weapon. That's not going to do you much good. Well, the Quran is, in the most positive way, it's a weapon in that it will help you fight the enemies of God, your own enemies, but you got to know how to use it. You got to know how to apply it. But if you can't even read it, how can you get the benefit? Okay, so all that's just to emphasize that and to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is what I use, Allah, al-qawl. I'll elaborate on this at another time, but al-qawl is a discourse. Al-qawl is a speech. Al-qawl is not just word, like words coming out of my mouth. You know, al-kalam, when you talk about kalam is speech, but kalima is word. Al-qawl is saying a discourse. The Quran is a discourse. The Quran is a speech. you know how we like to listen. Yeah, you know, be honest now. You like to listen to Malcolm's speeches. You like to listen to Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches. Yeah. Maybe you like to listen to John Kennedy's speeches and Frederick Douglass' speeches and things like that. How about the speech of Allah? How about the speech of Allah? Man, I read this speech that Allah did. Come on with that now. Come on now. I read a speech that Allah did. You think you'd be different after you read a speech that Allah gave? Well, that's what we have in our hands. Every time we read the Quran, we are reading the speech of Allah. And Allah is telling us, this is what I gave you for you to have power and establishment in the world. Allah, this is the part of Atmamtu alaykum ni'mat. This is a part of my perfect favor on you. That book, that Quran, Allah said, this is a part of that favor. And this is what will outlive Muhammad in body. Muhammad dies, passed away. The Quran tells you, Allahu Akbar, the Quran tells you, you know, if Muhammad's just a messenger, like messengers came before, if he dies, you're going to turn on your heel? Yeah, all the prophets and messengers, they died before him. But what last? The will and the plan of God, the word of God. Think about this. Every miracle of every prophet before Muhammad died with them. Moses' miracle. Where's the miracle of any of the other prophets? Where's Jesus' miracle? Where is it right now? Where's Muhammad's miracle? We have it every day. We should understand that we have on the shelves in our home a miracle. And we walk past that miracle every day and sometimes never give it a thought. The miracle of Allah, that he is left with us and for all time. And so Allah is saying in this verse, he's saying, this is what I give to establish you in the world. Then Allah concludes that verse. He says, وَيُضِلُ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ. But Allah will leave straying the zalimeen. And who are the zalimeen? When you look at the 45th ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, it's a sequence of verses. They end with this kind of refrain. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So God is saying in that verse, these are the zalimun. Who are the zalimun? Those whom Allah will leave straying. Okay, so God, who is it that you are going to leave straying? وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Zalimun. Those who judge by other than what Allah has revealed, they are the zalimun. And by that, God is saying, if they don't use what I gave them to judge by, I'm going to leave them straying. So when our lives are not what we would expect them to be, since we are Muslims and believers, inshallah, well, one of the places that we should check is our subscription to the Quran. You know, we got a lot of subscriptions, right? But what about our subscription to the Quran? How much of the Quran do we actually subscribe to? It's critical. And this is a part of this munzirin. This is what you're hearing now, the warning, and that tone that's in it. It's a, yeah, there is a warning tone to it. It's not, maybe it's not a happy tone for some, but I think you'd rather hear me put it to you like this rather than the angels in hell. You know what I'm saying? That the ones that are sending you to hell, us, if we fail in this world, it's going to be, man, it's game over. Game over. I do feel the need to say this, and I'm gonna be finished. Inshallah. Let's have this sense, not for the sense of anxiety, but for the sense of urgency. Not to be neurotic or worried or fearful or anything, but with love of God, with the love of Allah, with the recognition of Allah, take this, brothers and sisters. If you or I or any of us, if we died today, listen, if we died today, the judgment is tomorrow. I got plenty of time. Really? If we die today, I really want you to get it. You got stuff to do tomorrow? You got some stuff to do tomorrow? What you're expecting is, okay, I'm just going to go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and okay, today is the day I do that thing that I knew I had to do yesterday, and so now it's today, so now I got to do it. So you feel that 24-hour or less cycle. Go to sleep, wake up, do that thing that I'm supposed to. I got an appointment tomorrow. Go to sleep, wake up, and make it to the appointment. Okay. Die today, judgment tomorrow. You got it. How much time are you? Allah said, do you have a contract that says you're going to live to see tomorrow? Okay, so what are we doing in preparation for that inevitability? One of the readings also for that, your place in the Jannah will be according to your last recitation of the Quran, it can be read in this way also. If you read something from the Quran every day, then that means when that day comes, okay, well, what was the last Quran that you read? What was the last Quran that you read? Okay, that's where you're going to be in the paradise. Okay? So to be in the habit of reading the Quran is also a preparation for an event that we have no control over. So brothers and sisters, let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah la ilaha illa hu al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhu sinatan wa la nawm lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard man dhal ladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'iznih. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your aid and your assistance, for we know we have no help except you. Oh Allah, we thank you for perfecting our way of life for us. Oh Allah, we thank you for blessing us to come to the door of Al-Islam. Oh Allah, we thank you for blessing us to have the sense that we have submitted our wills to you. Oh Allah, perfect our submission to your will. Oh Allah, protect us from our own shortcomings, our own weaknesses, our own lapses, our own laziness. Help us to be committed and convicted inside the way of life that you have given us. Strengthen us in those areas where we are weak. Motivate us, drive us in the best way to be better than we are today. Oh Allah, we thank you for your perfect favor. Oh Allah, bless us to be among those who are truly grateful for the blessing that you have given us in the Quran, for the blessing that you have given us in the model example of Prophet Muhammad, who is the Quran walking. Oh Allah, bless us to be among those who are helping and aiding and assisting the growth and the spread of Al-Islam in the world, in our families, in our communities, and in the nation. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Couple of announcements, brothers and sisters. Remember, the building closes at 3:30, always after Jummah. New Arabic classes, 12-week beginning Arabic. It starts on June 5th. The teacher in this class is going to be Sister Zarina Alameen Majid. Alhamdulillah. It's going to be from 10 to 11:30, and this is all Zoom, and you can get the details. Also, the Beyond Beginning classes, Saturday from 9 to 11, the instructor will be Sheikh Abdul-Rauf Nasir, of course. The Children's Program for ages 6 to 13 is ongoing, and also the NAS Youth Business Loan Program is ongoing. For more details, you can reach Dr. Shoaib Peters at mshspeters@gmail.com. Happy anniversary to Abdul Rauf and Zainab Nasir. Alhamdulillah, 45 wonderful, wonderful years. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. May 29th is that day. Praise be to Allah. Also, we have a lot of birthdays. Taysir Salahuddin May. Taysir Salahuddin May. Alhamdulillah. Yanis Adib Shu'ad. Yanis Adib Shaheed. Abdul Rauf Nasir. May 25th. Alhamdulillah. Khalif Chapman. Phoenix Chapman. Isa Sahim Yassin, and also Sadiq Abdul Qadir Islam. Alhamdulillah, all late May birthdays. Alhamdulillah, congratulations. Inshallah, keep your eyes, ears, and plans open for July 3rd, the street festival, inshallah, the Masjid Waratin we'll be having right out here. Inshallah, we get the streets blocked off, and we have good old time right here at home, inshallah. And congratulations to Manaima Shaheed on being among four women making a mark featured in Atlanta's magazine, June 2021 issue. Alhamdulillah. Having grown up in Masjid Waratin's Claire Muhammad School in Oakland, Manaima was inspired at the early age to become an educator, and her service and accomplishments continue to be recognized at every turn. Alhamdulillah. And we are grateful to Allah that Faisaluddin, Faifullah Ra'id, alhamdulillah, the son of Sister Tawhida, we all know and love, is recuperating at home after a brain surgery, alhamdulillah. And Rafiq Najee is also, inshallah, very ill at the moment, according to reports, and so we keep all those in our dua, inshallah, wa aqim as-salat. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله سو فيما يعلمكم الله make a real straight and even نويتهم صلى الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإنما على عسر يسرا إنما على عسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذكر الله سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله.